Then Orithena was silent. I picked myself up and began hurrying down the ramp as best I could while keeping my head turned sideways, the better to stare at the geometer's probe. Its bottom was broad and saucer-shaped and still glowing a dull red-brown from the heat of re-entry. Above that, it had a simple shape, like an inverted bucket, with a slightly domed top. 5 tall, narrow hatches had opened in its sides, revealing slots from which the bug legs had unfolded. Atop its dome was some clutter I could not quite make out, presumably the mechanism for deploying and cutting free the parachute, maybe some antennas and sensors. I saw all sides of it as I chased Orlo down the spiral ramp and never saw anything that looked like a window. I caught up with him at the edge of the decagon. He was sniffing the air.
"Doesn't seem to be venting anything noxious," he said. "From the color of the exhaust, I'm guessing hydrogen oxygen. Clean as a whistle."
Landasher came down alone. It seemed he had ordered the others to remain above. He had his mouth open to say something. He looked half deranged, a man in over his head. Orlo cut him off. "Is the gate open?" Landasher didn't know. But above, we could now hear vehicles roaring around. I recognized them by their sounds. They were the ones we had brought over the pole. A light appeared at the top of the ramp.
"Someone opened them," Orlo said. "But they must be closed and bolted again as soon as the vehicles and parachute are inside. You should prepare for an invasion."
"Oh, you think the geometers are launching an—"
"No, I mean an invasion of the pangendrums. This event will have been picked up on sensors. There is no telling how quickly the secular power may respond. Possibly within an hour."
"We cannot possibly keep the secular power out if they wish to come in," Landasher said.
"As much time as possible. That is all I ask for," Orlo said.
The three-wheeler was coming down the ramp. As it drew closer, I saw Cord at the controls, Saman standing on the back, gripping Cord's shoulders to maintain his balance.
"What do you propose to do with that time?"
Landasher demanded. Until now, he had always struck me as a wise and reasonable leader. But this evening, he was under a lot of stress.
"Learn," Orlo said. "Learn of the geometers before the secular power takes this moment away from us."
The three-wheeler reached the bottom. Saman hopped off, unslinging his Jija from his shoulder. He aimed its sensors at the probe. Cord gunned the engine briefly and swung the machine around so that its headlight, too, was aimed at the probe. Then she hopped off and began to pull gear from the cargo shelf on the rear axle.
How do you know it is safe? What about infection? Orlo! Orlo!
Landasher cried, for Cord's headlight gambit had offered a much better look at the thing. And Orlo was drifting toward it, fascinated.
"If they were afraid of being infected by us, they would not have come here," Orlo said. "If we are at risk of being infected by them, then we are at their mercy."
"Do you really fancy that bolting the gate is going to stop people who have helicopters?"
Landasher asked.
"I have an idea about that," Orlo said. "Fra Erasmus will see to it."
By the time I had got back up to the top of the ramp, Yule and Ganel had retrieved the parachute. They and a small crew of adventurers of out had wadded and stuffed much of it into the open back of Ganel's fetch, restraining it with a haphazard web of cargo straps and shroud lines. Still, an acre of parachute and a mile of shroud lines trailed in the dust behind the fetch as they drew up to the edge of the pit. Now, at this point, we ought to have put on white bodysuits, gloves, respirators, and sealed the alien chute in sterile poly and sent it to a lab to be examined and analyzed down to the molecular level. But I had other orders. So I grabbed the edge of the chute, my first physical contact with an artifact from another star system, and felt it. To me, no expert on textiles, it felt like the same stuff we used to make parachutes on Arb. Same story with the shroud lines. I did not think that they were what we called new matter. Quite a crowd had gathered around the fetch. They were respecting Landasher's order not to go into the pit, but he hadn't said anything about the parachute. I climbed up onto the top of the fetch and announced,
"Each of you is responsible for one shroud line. We'll pull the chute out and spread it on the ground. Form a ring around its edge, Choose your line, then radiate. Spread the lines outwards, untangling them as you go. In 10 minutes, I would like to see the whole population of Orithena standing in a huge circle around the parachute, each holding the end of a line.
A pretty simple plan. It got quite a bit messier as they put it into practice. But they were smart people, and the less fussing and meddling I did, the better they showed themselves at dreaming up solutions to problems. Meanwhile, I had Yul estimate the length of a single shroud line by counting fathoms with his arms. Ganel drove his fetch out from under the spreading chute and down the ramp to the bottom of the pit. He had equipped it with a battery of high-powered lights that I had always found ridiculous. Tonight, he had finally found something to aim them at. I took a moment to glance down and saw that Orlo and Cord had approached to within 20 feet of the probe. Getting the Orithenans spread out around the chute took a little while. A supersonic jet screamed overhead and startled us